Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
The Bible says that He always leads us in triumph. He always leads us in triumph. He always leads us to win in life. The key is following Him. Well, why doesn't everybody win in life? Why do so many bad things happen to good people? Well, you can be a good person. That doesn't mean necessarily you're being led by the Spirit of God. We want to be led by the Spirit of God because He always leads us in victory. Right? He always leads us in triumph. I want to be led in triumph. I want to triumph. I want to win. I want to come out on top in life. How many want to come out on the bottom? You want to come out last. You want to lose in every battle you face in life. No, we want to win. Somebody say, I want to win. Well, we're born winners. Born again winners. Amen. Born of God's Spirit. We've got a winning spirit on the inside of us. We got a spirit that knows how to conquer and overcome death itself. Because the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you and I. And if that same Spirit dwells in you, the Bible says He'll give life to your mortal body through His Spirit that dwells in you. He'll give life to your mortal body. That's your body in this life, in this world. So we have life working in us as we continue to follow and yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit. So a couple weeks ago, we started talking about the Holy Spirit. We talked about getting acquainted with the Holy Spirit. And this was right after we had a Holy Spirit weekend. We just had a couple Holy Spirit meetings on Friday and Saturday a few weeks ago. And then the Lord put on my heart to talk about getting acquainted with the Holy Spirit. Last week, we talked about all the different names of the Holy Spirit. And He was referred to over 30-something different names that we went through last week. And so I asked the Lord about today, what should we do today? And what He dropped in my heart was learning how to be led by the Spirit of God. How to be led by the Spirit of God. Again, we want to be led by Him because He always leads us. He leads us in triumph, amen? And so that's a good reason to want to be led by Him. The Bible says over in Romans chapter 8 and in verse 14, it says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God." So if we're going to grow up and mature as Christians and become sons of God, then we've got to be led by the Spirit of God. Thank God we can be led by the Spirit of God, that we have that opportunity. And so He says, as many as led by the Spirit again, these are the sons of God. Then Galatians chapter 5, Galatians the fifth chapter, and in verse 18, the Bible says, "But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law." I like that one. You're not under the law. Now, there's a lot of people that, you know, will talk about, I'm saved by grace, and we're not under the law. We're not under the law because we're saved. Well, what does that mean? Well, that means I confess Jesus as Lord. Okay, well, that's great. But here the Bible says, if you are led by the Spirit of God, you're not under the law. If you're led by this, now, see, if you want to be led by your flesh and you want to just do your own thing, then you're under the law. It don't matter if you say, I believe in Jesus or not. You're under the law if you're following your flesh and not being led by the Spirit of God. See, we want to live a lifestyle of being led by Him. And we're justified by faith in the grace of God. And if we are in faith concerning the grace of God, then we are in faith that we have the Holy Spirit on the inside of us to lead us and guide us in life. And so if we believe we have the Holy Spirit on the inside of us to lead us and guide us in life, then we're looking to be led by him. We're not seeking to do our own thing. We're seeking to follow him. Follow the Spirit of God. Amen? And so the promise is that if you're following him, if you're being led by him, you're not under the law. Why? Because you're walking in the will of God. Because the Spirit of God is only going to lead you in the will of God. He's not going to, how many people know he's not going to lead you into sin? He's not going to lead you to break the commandments, violate God's law. He's not going to lead you to do that. So instead of trying to follow the law, we just are led by the Spirit of God. We're led by him. And if we'll follow him, we'll fulfill the law. We'll fulfill all God's laws and commandments if we're following the Spirit of God. Now, the number one way that the Spirit of God leads people is through the holy written word of God, through the Bible. Thank God for the word of God. Yes. And be grateful for God's word. Yes. Well, that's the number one way the Holy Spirit's going to lead us in life. He's going to lead us in line with the word. He's going to use the word of God to lead us in life. That's how he led us to be born again in the first place. That's how he led us into salvation. It was through hearing the word of God. When we heard the preaching of the gospel, what happened? Faith came. We believed it. We believed it, we received it, and we made Jesus the Lord of our life. But that was all by the working of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was doing that work in our life to bring us to salvation, and he brought us, he led us into salvation through the hearing of the word of God. We see in Ephesians chapter 1, in verse 13, it says, in him you also trusted, talking about Jesus. In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. This is all one sentence. Believing the word, being sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Let me read this to you from the Christian Standard Bible. It says, in him you also were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and when you believed. So notice the Holy Spirit was involved in our hearing the word and being saved. See, that's how we got saved. He led us into salvation. The Holy Spirit led us into salvation through the hearing of the word of God. And that's how he leads us to change our ways. The Holy Spirit leads us to think right, talk right, act right, live right by the word of God. He uses the word of God to transform our life, transform the way we do things. We can know right from wrong because the Spirit of God is teaching us through the word of God. The word of God is showing us what's right, what's wrong, what's acceptable to God, what's not acceptable to God. What's the way that leads to blessing and the way that leads to cursing. And so we want to be led into blessing. How many want to be led into blessing? I want to be led into blessing. I don't want to be led into the curse. How many people know there's another spirit in this world that would love to lead you into a bunch of curses? He would love to do that. But we're not going to follow that spirit. We're going to follow the Holy Spirit, and he leads us into blessing. Well, how does he lead us into blessing? Well, number one, by teaching us the word of God, teaching us how to talk. How not to do this. You know, the Bible says life and death is in the power of the tongue, right? It's in the power of the tongue. So if we're talking about life, if we're talking about blessing, then how we talk is important. So the Holy Spirit, he's going to lead us to speak right, to talk right, because he wants to lead us into blessing. He wants to lead us in triumph. And so how does he do that? Well, he shows us that in the scripture. See, we just quoted it. Life and death's in the power of the tongue. See, we know that from the Bible. See, and it's through the word that he's leading us and he's teaching us and he's showing us how we should act, how we should teach, how we should talk, how we should behave in life. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Notice that statement there. The renewing of your mind. Well, how do we renew our mind? With the Word of God. With the Word of God, we renew our mind. Well, where's the Holy Spirit in that? Well, Titus. Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3, verse 5, it says, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing and regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit." Everybody say renewing of the Holy Spirit. See, now in Romans 12, 2, what did we just read? The renewing of your mind. The renewing of your mind. Titus, the renewing of the Holy Spirit. See, they go together. The Word and the Spirit are in the renewing business. Renewing your mind. Renewing the way you think. You know, it's so sad. So many Christians just, you know, they get saved and then they never go on to get their minds renewed, get their thinking straightened out. And they just continue to live in the same old that they lived in before coming to know the Lord. But thank God you and I can go on and get our minds renewed. And it's not just by reading the Bible, but it's by the working of the Holy Spirit. It's not just reading the Word, it's the renewing of the Holy Spirit. He is renewing our mind as we are in the Word of God. So hearing the Word of God is our foundation to being led by the Spirit of God. It's the foundation. Because in any other way that the Spirit of God would lead us in life, we always have to come back to the Bible and make sure that how he's leading us is in line with the Word. Because the Word of God, the Scriptures, are a sure word. It's a solid foundation. It's been proven. It's been tested. The Bible says that of itself. It's been proven. It's been tested. It is trustworthy. In fact, over in 2 Peter, the Apostle Peter, when he was walking with Jesus, he saw the glory of God come upon Jesus while they were on this mountain. We call it the Mountain of Transfiguration. And the glory of God came upon Jesus. And he just began to shine, you know, with the light of that glory. And the Father's voice spoke out of that cloud concerning Jesus. They heard that voice. I mean, this is a powerful experience. This is an incredible experience, an incredible manifestation of God in Peter, John, and James' life. I mean, this is amazing. And so Peter writes about it. And I want you to notice what he says here in 2 Peter chapter 1. He says in verse 17, "For he," Jesus, "received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And we heard this voice." People like to hear that voice. The voice of the Father speaking like that. I mean, audibly. "We heard this voice which came from heaven, and we were with him on the holy mountain." Then he goes right into this next verse. "We also have the prophetic word," talking about the Bible, the Scriptures, "made more sure, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit." So it's really the Holy Spirit that gave us the word through these holy men of God. But the Holy Spirit was behind it. He's the author of the Bible. He's the author. You know, like I've heard it said, there are many writers of the Bible, but there's only one author. And that author is God. More specifically, it's the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit of God. But notice what he says there. He says, right after talking about this glorious experience, he says, we have the prophetic word made more sure. See, he's not putting down their experience, but he's exalting the word. He's not putting down the voice that they heard, but he's exalting the written word of God above that experience. Why? Because it's more sure. It's more solid. It's proven. It can't get messed up. I said it can't get messed up. You know, somebody can have a vision. Somebody can have an experience. Somebody can say, I heard from God. God spoke to me. God led me to do this or that. And I've had people come and they say, well, you know, I just feel the Spirit of God's leading me to do this. And then they tell me what he's leading them to do. And I think he's not leading you to do that. And I mean, I can quote seven scriptures that just contradict what they say the Spirit of God's leading them to do. See? Thank God for the Word of God. See, we can always come back to the Word to judge whether or not we are truly being led by the Spirit of God. Now, sometimes we might not realize, you know, the Spirit of God is leading us a certain way because of our understanding of the Word. But that's why we have to have the humility to come back to God and say, now, Lord, you know, I don't know everything. I don't have it all figured out. And so, you know, this seems different. Show me. Give me understanding. Give me revelation of these things, if these things are so. What does your word say about it? You know, we got to learn to come back to the Bible and say, what does the word say about it? Whatever it might be. I'm not just talking about churchy stuff. Just in life. What does the word say about that? What does the word say about that? A lot of times folks are too fast to just give their opinion. Well, this is how I feel about it. This is what I think. And very dogmatic about it. You know, just, I mean, you know, this is what they believe. And yet they can't give any scripture for what they believe. They got no scriptural basis for what they're standing on. We don't want to be that way. We want to always come back to the scriptures. Make sure that our being led by the Spirit of God is in line with the Word of God. Amen? Hallelujah. And then the Bible says over in John chapter 14, verse 26, but the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. Praise God, you know the Holy Spirit's the real teacher this morning. He's the one that wants to teach you some things. He'll give me the utterance to share and teach. Like I said, he put this on my heart. I know he did. He led me to minister this morning. And he'll give the utterance in the service as we look to him for that. But then also he gets in the chair with you and he's the one that gives you revelation of what's being spoken. And he'll say some other things. He'll say some additional things. You know, I might say one thing and then the Holy Spirit will say, now you see what he just said? And I see how that connects with this, that, and the next thing in your life? And you'll go, oh yeah, I got my answer. And people get all kinds of answers. Why? Because the teacher, the Holy Spirit, he's here. He's helping us. I said, he's helping us. You thank God, it's not left up to us to try to figure everything out. Right? We got to just try to figure everything out. No, we're not trying to figure everything out. We're humbly receiving instruction from the Holy Spirit. It says, Jesus said, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. That's one of the big things he'll do for you is bring the word of God to your remembrance. I don't know how many times, you know, I've been in situations and all of a sudden the word of God, you know, concerning this situation will come to my remembrance. You know, just when I needed it. Because, I'm always looking, we always need to be looking for the word on things. What does the word say about this? And scripture will come. Scripture will come. Come to my remembrance. People have come to me for counseling and they need direction in life and things like that. I'll sit down with them and scriptures will just start coming to me. The Holy Spirit, start bringing the word to my remembrance to help them say, well, you know, the Bible says this. The Bible says that. You know, it looks very natural. It almost looks like I know what I'm talking about. You know, it almost makes you kind of look, you know, like you're a pretty smart guy. But I know it's the Holy Spirit. He's got all the answers. I said, he's got all the answers. We just got to yield to him. I like what it says over in 1 John chapter 2, I think it's verse 20, where it says, you have an anointing of the Holy One, and you know all things. And that same anointing teaches you. And it's talking about the anointing of the Holy Spirit that's on the inside of you. The anointing of the Holy Spirit in you teaches you. He teaches you, again, all things. We've got a teacher. We got a life coach. Come on, somebody. Living on the inside of us, helping us, teaching us, leading us, guiding us. We need to learn to look to him. Become conscious of him. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God, they're the sons of God. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are not under the law. That's you and I. We're following him. We're not just following man's opinion. We're not just following good ideas. We're not following pressure and what people think we should do. Or what the devil would try to pressure us to do, because the devil's got a voice in this world. And he'll speak to you. And he'll even speak religious things to you. And you have to be able to discern that. You have to be able to recognize that. And recognize, no, that's not the voice of the good shepherd. I'm following the good shepherd. I'm following the Holy Spirit. And we know him through, number one, we know his leadings through the holy written word of God. Can you say amen? Amen? Number two, second way the Holy Spirit leads is through the inner witness. Again, don't get these backwards now. Remember, it's always the word first. All right, now we're going to go the inner witness, the inner witness. Romans chapter 8, verse 16 says, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. So notice, you are a spirit being. You have a soul and you live in a body. And then there's the Holy Spirit who you receive when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And so now the Holy Spirit is one spirit with your spirit. So it should be pretty easy to be led by him. You know, let's just get that straight right now. It's easy being led by the Spirit of God. All you have to do is have a heart for God, have a heart for the Word of God. Have a heart to do the will of God. Do the will of God. Not just know the will of God, do the will of God. There's a lot of people who like to know the will of God. I'd like to know the will of God. But are you willing to do the will of God no matter what it is? No matter what it costs? If we have a heart to do the will of God, if we have a heart for God, for his word, then it's easy being led by the Spirit of God. Easy to be led by the Spirit of God. Why? Because you and him are, you're one. You're one together. So you have to watch about hyper-spiritualizing things and just thinking, you know, being led by the Spirit, oh man, being led by the Spirit of God. Wow, that's, ooh, that sounds, man, I don't know if I could do this. Well, if you're born again, see, that's number one. If the Spirit of God is in you, then you and him are one. You and him are one. And just like he bears witness with your spirit that you are saved, that you are his, that you are a child of God, that's how he's going to help you know a lot of things in life. I mean, when I got born again, when the Spirit of God came to live on the inside of me, man, I knew I was saved. I knew I was different. I knew God was in me. I knew I had eternal life. I mean, these were things that you kind of hope and you wish and you kind of guess it about. I knew that and I knew it. I knew it. How? By the Spirit of God who dwells in me. He let me know. He bore witness with my spirit. I'm a child of God. Well, he'll bear witness with your spirit not to go that way to work today. He'll bear witness with your spirit to do this or to do that or to not do this or to not do that. He will give you an inner conviction, an inner knowing of what is right and what is wrong. It'll agree with the word, but how do you know the word can't tell you the scriptures can't tell you every specific thing that you face in life. Can't tell you about every specific thing you face in life. But the Spirit of God can. And just like he bears witness to you and causes you to know that you're a child of God, he'll let you know, don't go there. Go ahead and buy that. Don't enter into that partnership. Back off from this. Don't go that direction. Don't say that. Sometimes I was a little late on that. I hate that. There's been times where, you know, it's like, you know, I say something and it's like, no. And the witness came a little late. It's like, no, don't say that. Be quiet. I remember, you know, one time I've shared this before. It's been a while. But it's when we first started the church. There was a lady coming to our church. And man, she was going through such emotional turmoil, and she was just so messed up from other churches, and she had such wacky beliefs and everything. And so I was ministering to her and getting her slowly but surely grounded in the Word of God. And she would call me, you know, fairly regularly. I mean, and I'd be counseling her over the phone, ministering to her, helping her on the phone. And anyway, one day she called me, and I didn't know it was a setup. But it was a setup. And she was just emotionally distraught, but I didn't know that because she didn't let me know that at the beginning of the conversation. She just sounded very normal. And she said, you know, I just don't understand about this, that, and the next thing. And she said some things about what she was dealing with. And then she got quiet and waited for my response. And I didn't have one from the Holy Spirit. And actually, what I actually had was, shh, stay quiet. But I'm on the phone. And she just asked me a question. How do you sit on the phone and just be quiet when this woman is expecting an answer? You know, and then thoughts start coming. Man, she's going to think you don't have an answer. You're just dumb. You don't know anything. You better say something. You know what I'm talking about. And I'm sitting on the phone. It's quiet. And yet I've got something sitting on my inner man, on my spirit, just saying, shh, don't talk. Because he knows everything. But the pressure just got too much. It was just the quiet, you know, it was too uncomfortable. It was too uncomfortable. So I said, well, you know, have you ever tried doing this or that? Oh, my goodness. She exploded. And the explosion was already there. I mean, you know, the fuse, everything. It was already there. What I said didn't do it. What I said was an excuse for her to explode in my face. And she just exploded and started freaking out on the phone, you know. And I just put the phone down and went, I'm sorry. dummy, why did you? Just be quiet. But like I said, you know, sometimes it came a little, I was a little too quick for the Holy Spirit. I was a little too quick for him. But we got to learn to slow down. And listen to that. Pay attention to that. And it's good to be able to recognize, if you do miss it, to recognize the after you've missed it, so that you're sharper next time. And you realize, you know, he don't like me entering into that kind of a conversation. You know, I better check with him. I better be slower to speak next time. Right? Doesn't the Bible say this? It says, be slow to speak, quick to hear. Slow to speak, quick to hear. Why? Because if you're too quick to speak, you'll get out ahead of the Holy Spirit. You don't want to get out ahead of the Holy Spirit, because if you get out in front of him, you can't see him. But if you'll stay behind him and be slow, I'd rather be too far behind him than in front of him. I'd rather be too slow than too fast. I mean, the best is just walk side by side. I mean, just flow together. You know, that's the best. But if, you know, if you're going to miss it in being too slow. Yeah. Why? Because you can still see him. Yeah. You know, and you can get caught up. He'll help you get caught up. But if you get out ahead of him, then you make messes that he's got to now clean up. He's got to help get cleaned up in your life. But we have the Spirit on the inside of us who will convict our spirit, who will lead our spirit. 1 John chapter 5, verse 8 says, "And there are three that bear witness on earth. The Spirit bears witness, the water and the blood, and these three agree as one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater." You know, people could come along and say, "Man, that's right. You did the right thing. That's great. That was wonderful." But what is the Holy Spirit saying? What's the Holy Spirit saying? See, we're looking for Him. His witness is greater than the witness of men. What people might say is nice, but what does the Holy Spirit say? What does the witness say? Because that's actually what He's referred to as. He's referred to here as the witness of God. "For this is the witness of God, which He has testified of His Son. He who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself." So again, we have this witness on the inside of us who will help lead us and guide us in life. He is that conviction that you get on the inside of not to do something or to say something. How many of you know what a conviction is? You know, you ever get convicted about something? I sure hope so. You know, thank God for the conviction of the Holy Spirit. We need His conviction. Unfortunately, there's a lot of folks that dull themselves to the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because they want to persist in doing things a certain way. They want to have it a certain way. And so the Holy Spirit convicts them. They're like, "No." And they push it down. They push it down. Every time you push down the conviction of the Holy Spirit, you are dumbing down your spirit. You're dulling your spirit to the Holy Spirit. That's a dangerous place to be. I don't want to go through this life being dull to the one that leads me in triumph, the one that caused me to overcome, the one that caused me to get the victory in life. We don't want to be dull to Him. We want to be super sensitive to Him. Super sensitive. You know, like, you know, if you go to a dentist and he starts working on a tooth or something like that, you know, what is that? Where you really get real sensitive. You know, your tooth, you can get really sensitive, your teeth, something like that. That's how we need to be in our spirit. Our spirit needs to be like super sensitive. We could sense the Spirit of God is leading us a certain way. We never want to get to the place where we're just dull and dumb and we're just walking along and the Spirit of God's telling us something, Matt. We just keep walking right on, say, "Bless God, I'm saved. I've been born again. I'm on my way to heaven. Ah! Why'd that happen to Charlie? He's a church-going guy, and he's super religious, and, you know, and look what happened to Charlie. Why did that happen to Charlie? God's a good God. Why did that happen to Charlie?" And Charlie believed that God was a healing God. God, he believed in the deliverance God. Why did he get hit by that? Why did that happen? Well, I don't know. But we do know things can happen when people have a dull spirit or they get out ahead of the Spirit of God. There's a lot of reasons why bad things happen. That should not fill our hearts with doubt concerning what we know to be true in the Word of God. That should not fill our hearts with doubt. Just because it's something else, we don't judge things based on what happened to other people. Because we don't know everything about other people. But we know what the Bible says, and that's what we build our life on. So we want to make sure that we're super sensitive, super sensitive. And you can't get down on people. You know, there's people that have missed it, gotten themselves killed because they missed it. Well, you can't judge them unless you've never missed it. You're just fortunate to be still alive. No, you can't judge them. You can't get down on people that missed it and died before their time, died prematurely. You can't get down on them. But you can't judge God based on those things either. You got to judge God based on His Word. You got to come back to the Bible. What does the Word of God say? "I know as for me and my house, which is the house of God," we want to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. We are developing super sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. We can feel His breeze. We can feel His, we're not waiting for the mighty rushing wind. We just, a little breeze. We're like, okay, this is good. We'll go that way. We'll follow the breeze of the Spirit of God. Third way that God leads us is through higher thinking. Higher thinking. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8. He says, for my thoughts, talking about God now, God's got thoughts. He says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. And my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. Now, unfortunately, where a lot of people go with that is, yeah, that's right. His thoughts are higher than your thoughts. His ways are higher than your ways, and you'll never understand it. You'll never understand God's thoughts. You'll never understand his ways because they're higher. Well, he didn't say anything about you not being able to understand them. He just said they're higher. He's got higher thinking. But he wants to reveal his thoughts to you and I. I said he wants to reveal his thoughts to you and I. He wants to put his thoughts in your mind. And that's exactly what he does. And you can recognize a God thought by the fact that it's a higher thought than your thought. I mean, I don't know how many times, you know, I'm thinking one way. You know, my thoughts are, this is where my thoughts are. And I'm talking to God about it. And then all of a sudden, another thought comes that's completely higher than my thought. Doesn't mean it's more complicated. Actually, God's higher thoughts are so much more simpler than our complicated thinking. Our thinking can be so complicated. But God's thoughts are, he's so, you know, God's just so simple. It's so simple for God. Everything's so simple to him. We get all, I don't know what I'm going to do. And it's like, God just goes, he just throws something in there. You know, he just throws a little word. And it's like, your whole world just changes. That's how he created the world. It's just a little word. Three words, right? Four words. Let there be light. Four words. And everything began to change. God doesn't have to sit there and keep firing words at you. You know, I get concerned when people, you know, talk like God's walking around with them or just going and going and going, just talking and talking and talking to them all the time. Well, God was telling me in the car, and then we got over here, he was talking to me, and he said this to me, and he told me he'll do this, and he said that to this, and he told me 20 times not to do this and not to do that. I don't know. I mean, probably if he told you once, he expects you to do it. I don't know if he's going to chase you down on that and hound you, saying it 20 times to you. That just doesn't sound like him, does it? You know, I think of Jonah, right? The Lord says to him, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach to it. Jonah's like, no way. I ain't doing that. I mean, I'll do anything. I'm not doing that. So Jonah goes and he gets on a ship and he goes to Tarsus. So he gets out on this ship and he's running away from the presence of the Lord. He's trying to escape the will of God for his life, you know. And so, you know, we don't know how many days passed before he finally got the ship and then got on the ship. I mean, he probably had to pack his house up and probably move and give notice at work. And, you know, who knows all the things that were involved in him getting to the ship, how many days and weeks were involved in that. But he gets on the ship and he leaves and he goes out and he gets out there. We don't know how long he was out there on this journey either. I mean, they might have stopped at different ports and stuff, you know, and got off and got refreshed. But anyway, they're out there on the ship one day and a big storm comes. And next thing you know, they're trying to figure out, the people on the ship trying to figure out, why is this big storm? You know, who has sinned to bring this storm upon us? And they narrowed it down that it was Jonah. And Jonah confessed, it's me. I did it. I'm running from the presence of God. They said, what are we supposed to do? He says, throw me overboard. I mean, this guy's depressed, man. Throw me overboard. I mean, he's like suicidal. Just throw me overboard. I was going to jump anyway. Just do it. They're like, we don't want to do it. He said, just throw me. Save your life and throw me. So they're praying, oh, God, help us. Dear Lord, we don't want to throw this man overboard, Lord. And now just about that, you know, they're taking on more water and everything else. So, well, bless God, let's do it. And they take him, they throw him overboard. And a big whale comes, or some kind of fish. Had to be a big whale. So swallowed him up. Swallowed Jonah up. And, you know, we don't know how, he was 3 days, 3 nights in the belly of the whale, Jesus said. 3 days, 3 nights in the belly, I mean, all that stomach acid just working on him, you know. Oh, my goodness, just, I mean, he must have been a real sorry sight to see. At the end of 3 days, but 3 days, that fish got sick of him, you know. and just vomited him out on dry land. He gets thrown up on the beach. You know, it's pretty bad when the whale gets sick of you, you know. I mean, you gotta be pretty bad. So now here he is. He's on the land. He's half decayed, you know. I mean, he's got all this acid that's eating half his flesh up. I mean, he looks like, you know, the night of the living dead, you know. He's like, I'll go. So he says, Lord, what do you want? And the Lord says, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach to it. This is the same exact thing he said to him. Who knows how far back here? I mean, just says the last thing he said to him. You know, God didn't chase him down. He goes, I said, go to Nineveh. If you see three ships go by that have blue sails, that means go to Nineveh, okay? You go to Nineveh, you got three ships, blue sails, Nineveh. You understand? No, God didn't do all that. Told him once. And by the way, don't be led by that kind of stuff. Because the devil will accommodate you. Now, Lord, if you'll just send somebody to say this, that, and the next thing, I'll say no, somebody gets possessed. And they'll come and they'll say exactly what you want to hear. And you'll go, yes, Lord, I'll go. And you go right out of the will of God. People do that kind of stuff all the time. Don't be led by flaky things like that, by outward things like that. I mean, that's the last thing in the world. You know, fleeces and stuff like that. Yeah, they did it under the Old Testament because they couldn't be led by the Spirit of God because they didn't have the Spirit of God living on the inside of them. They were all under the law. But thank God we're not under the law because we're led by the Spirit of God. So we're not out here relying on very unsure things to find the will of God. We're not out here putting fleeces out. If you put a fleece out, you get fleeced. You don't want to do that. You don't want to do that. You don't want to be following fleeces. You want to be led by the Spirit of God. Can you say amen? But the Spirit of God just said to him, you know, same thing he had said to him one time before. And then, you know, you could just see Jonah just going into the city, you know. Just looked like a zombie. And he starts preaching, you know, under the anointing of God. The whole city repented. They said, me, my Lord. They just all repented. Praise God forever. Anyway, be led by the Spirit of God and you won't end up in the belly of a whale. That's the motto of the story. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. You can't know them. Nope, stop. He didn't say that. Let's go to the next verse. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. And then you go down to verse 16, and he says, for who has known the mind or the thoughts of the Lord, that he may instruct him, instruct God? But we have the mind of Christ. Wow, hallelujah. We've got God's thoughts. And so God will give you a thought that is a higher thought than you're thinking. And that's how you can recognize that's God. That's God talking to me. That's God leading me. And again, like I said, there's been plenty of times I'm going one direction and then a thought comes. I didn't hear an audible voice, but it was a thought. But it was God's thought. It was the Spirit of God speaking to me, speaking to my thoughts with a God thought. And I recognized it and followed it. And it revolutionized everything. And I've seen that time and time and time again. All the God thoughts that I've ever received and followed, and I was thinking about, I've thought about this, you know, a few times, just all the God thoughts that I've ever received and followed, they've always led me in victory. They've always led me into very good things happening. It never got me in trouble. Never got me in trouble. Always led me in the right direction. So we have to recognize that. Be recognizing God's thoughts. The devil will put thoughts in your mind. You know, I talked about the time I was at Bible school and I was in the service and the Spirit of God was moving on people and people were having a great time in the Holy Spirit and I'm sitting there and these thoughts came and these are the exact words. These thoughts came to me and said, these people are spiritual. They're tapping into the power of God. But look at you. You're just a flesh creature. You don't belong here. See, that was the devil's thought. And it just clears that. Those are the exact words. Because he said it to me Monday in class. He said it Tuesday when I showed up for class. He said it Wednesday and Thursday when I showed up for class. That's why I've got it memorized. And the exact same words. He used the exact same words. I walk in the class. It seems like great things are happening in people's lives. And next year, the enemy comes to me and he tries to make me feel inferior and like, you don't belong here. By saying those exact words to me. Those were his thoughts. That was a lower thought. That was not a higher thought. That was a lower thought that takes you to a low place. You got to recognize that voice. We need to know the voice of the good shepherd and not follow the voice of a stranger, because he has a voice too. So thank God for higher thoughts. Higher thoughts, full of wisdom. These thoughts are full of wisdom. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 20 says, wisdom calls aloud outside. She raises her voice. She raises her voice in the open square. So wisdom is calling out. Calling out. A lot of people think they're calling out to God for wisdom. Wisdom's calling out to you. We just got to believe that and learn to listen and recognize. Become discerning. It's not difficult to hear the voice of wisdom. It's calling out to us all the time. Proverbs 8, verse 1, does not wisdom cry out and understanding lift her voice? Understand, man, I need understanding about this. Wisdom, the spirit of wisdom will give you direction, will speak to you. And it's wisdom. It is wisdom. Higher thinking than your thoughts. Proverbs 16, verse 3 says, commit your works to the Lord and your thoughts will be established. Your thoughts. God will establish your thinking. If you're committed, commit everything that you're doing to the Lord, he will establish your thoughts. Isn't that good news? Glory be to God. He'll do it. He'll do it. Praise God forever. Thank God we don't have to be going out of our minds about stuff. We don't have to be in confusion about things. We have the mind of Christ. We have access to God's thoughts. So this is how, another way, the Spirit of God will lead us in life. Can you say amen? Praise God. There's several more we need to cover in this series. So hopefully we'll be able to do it next week, Lord willing. Let's just thank him and praise him. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org, and you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.